Well, good morning, everyone. I'm greeting you from about a little after 2 on Saturday, December 20th. And I thank God for this opportunity to be able to come in. I want to thank Clarence for volunteering his time to come in and record the video so that I will be able to, Lord willing, take a little time off when you're watching this. And I'm going to try to be disciplined. I know it's going to be different for both of us because you're not used to watching the screen necessarily for the message. And I'm not used to looking at an empty sanctuary and just staring at the camera or speaking to the camera, but I'll do my best. In my mind, though, I can picture, I look at the sanctuary right now and I can kind of see you all. I see you here. I see where you sit. So I'm just going to somewhat pretend that you're here and I'm engaging with you, even though I'm a little behind you in time. And I want to thank the worship team, too, and for stepping in and everyone just who serves and does all they can for us to be able to take a little time together and to take off a few days. We did take off the end of May and haven't been able to take some extended time off together until, Lord willing, this upcoming week after or week of Christmas. So anyway, just want to thank God that you're here. And those of you joining online as well, we thank God that you're joining today as well. And I do have something in my heart today to share that I really believe is from the Lord. So I would like to just pray and ask you to just join in with me, participate and be engaged. And let's just trust God to speak to us today. Father, I thank you for this opportunity once again to share your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for everyone who makes the effort and time to be in fellowship, those who may not be able to be here in person, but can engage and participate online or by audio. And so I just pray that, Lord, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power of your Spirit working in us. So, Lord, work in us now. Speak to our heart and give us a now word that we need to move forward into 2026 for your purpose and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you a couple of verses, and I want to ask you to join me in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to center on a few verses there in just a moment. But I want to give you just a few words from the book of Nehemiah. So I'll give you a few verses. Won't be a truckload of them, but a few. If you want to write those down, I will ask you to turn to maybe one other scripture with me before the message is over today. But again, Philippians chapter 3, if you'll hold your spot there. And I want to give you just a few words from Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. Nehemiah 4, 14. And then in just a moment, I'll go back and give you the context and read the full verse to you. But here's the part of Nehemiah 4:14. It just simply says this, three words, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Now, this is a time of year where we may look back on the year in review and then look forward to the upcoming year. And as we look back on 2025, we certainly remember significant events in our lives. We remember highs that we've experienced. We remember some lows that maybe we've endured. And I'll just say, based on that scripture in Nehemiah 4, remember the Lord. As we look back on 2025, let's remember the Lord and thank him for his faithfulness and thank him for all that he has brought us through. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his faithfulness. And here we are standing just a few days away from a brand new year in 2026. And so as we look forward, I want to ask you to join me in Philippians 3, verse 12. I'll start there. Philippians 3, 12. And we read these words, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. We have not arrived yet. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. So from Nehemiah, remember the Lord, and from Philippians chapter 3, press on. So here is the title of the message today. If you want to write it down, it's simply this. Remember the Lord and press on. Remember the Lord and press on. And again, I'm just going to pretend that I hear you, see you, because in a sense, I really do. So I'm going to ask you just to say this with me, or I'll say it and then we'll repeat it together. Again, the title of the message, Remember the Lord and Press On. Would you say that with me? Remember the Lord and press on. And then just one more, if you would just turn to someone next to you and would just tell them, Remember the Lord and press on. Remember the Lord and press on. That word press means to press on to a goal with intensity. I like that, how it's worded. To press on to a goal with intensity. I'm not just half-hearted doing this. I'm going after it with everything I've got. So remember the Lord and then press on. Let me give you the context of that Nehemiah scripture, and I'll give you the full verse. Nehemiah led the people of God to rebuild the wall around the holy city of Jerusalem. And when he did, he faced ridicule, he faced threats, he faced discouragement from among those own people, he faced disunity and discord from among the people as they were building. So again, I'm going to say that again, as he was building, he was doing something for the Lord, and the attacks came against him, ridicule, the threats, and then the discouragement and discord that he endured. And there are three words that stand out to me in this chapter. If you want to read it sometime, Nehemiah 4, here they are. He went out to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, but it also uses the word revive and the word restore. Rebuild, revive, and restore. And as I relate that to our lives today, anytime that we seek to rebuild some area of our lives for the glory of God, when we seek to revive our relationship with Him, maybe what was lost or seeming like it was lifeless, and we want to revive our walk with the Lord, or to even restore something that was lost or something that was neglected. So when we seek to rebuild, revive, and restore any area of our lives for the purpose and glory of God, we too will face opposition. And in that context, as we face it, let's try to remember this. Nehemiah 4:14, he said to the people, and I looked and I arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Because they were experiencing the threats right then, the ridicule. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Would you say that with me? Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So remember the Lord, great and awesome. I just love that, because it's not just, yeah, I remember. No, remember the Lord, great and awesome. Magnify Him, declare His goodness and His greatness, because this is what I've learned from Scripture, even in life, and I'm sure you can relate. Who we remember, what we remember, and how we remember can affect us in the present, but it also can affect us moving forward. So I'll say that again. Who we remember, what we remember, and how we remember can affect us in the present and then also moving forward. I'll give you an example if you want to write this scripture down. It's Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. And it's very interesting to me how this is worded, because God had freed His people from 400 years, over 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and He's trying to lead them toward the promised land to believe Him and do what He called them to do. And then they faced opposition, and it seemed like their natural response was always, whenever anything went wrong, they went back to that, we remember Egypt, let's just go back. And this is what they said in Numbers 11:5. We remember the fish we ate freely. We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt. And they remember the melons, cucumbers, garlics, onion. But that's, if you think about that, we ate fish freely. They were, if you want to call that free, I learned years ago that free is a relative term. If they ate that freely, in other words, they didn't have to pay for it because they didn't get paid for what they did. They were in slavery. They didn't eat it free. They didn't do anything free. But they remembered in a way that caused them to want to go back to the comfort zone of their slavery and have themselves provided for rather than to believe God and press on to possess the land that God had promised them. They said they remember the fish. They could have pressed on with the one who took two small fish and fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. That might have been easily over 20,000 people. So they remember the Lord and press on. Remember the Lord and press on. Because we can remember and focus on past offense, past hurt, past loss, our own failures and sins, but doing so only increases our anger, fear, discouragement. It can hinder our fellowship with the Lord. We can remember in a way that hinders our fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this, to me, one of the greatest dangers. We can remember in a way that leads us to give up on some area in our lives. I'm not saying you give up and you're not a Christian, but you just give up worshiping the Lord, give up ministry, give up serving Him because we focus on something in the past. So remember the Lord, great and awesome. We have the capacity to remember. Again, it's just not focusing on it in a way that would hinder us, but instead we press on and we press on to God's will and to what He's called us to do. If you're still there in Philippians, let me get back there. Philippians chapter 3, let's read verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, we'll pick up where we left off. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do." One thing. Sometimes we just have to narrow our focus down. The Passion translation there says one compelling focus. So he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So one thing I do. Paul said here, and the context of this was his past accomplishments, but he could have focused on his past failures. He had the first Christian martyr recorded in Scripture. He gave his authority to have this brother murdered because they didn't like what he was saying. And he tried to compel Christians to blaspheme the name of Jesus. And he thought he was doing God's will as he did it. God just miraculously and radically saved him, transformed him, and used him to write Scripture, start churches, and be a missionary. But I love what he did here. He was wise about what he chose to, if you say, forget or not focus on, and what he chose to remember. He remembered the mercy and grace of God, and it compelled him to press on and move forward, and he chose to forget all of my past sins and failures and all the wrongs that I've done. He chose to forget all of his past accomplishments in Judaism to say, well, I can kick back and take it easy now. He didn't have that attitude. He was just like, man, I'm pressing on toward God. I'm going to forget or not focus on anything that would hinder me in my walk with my Lord. Let me give you just two. It says, remember the Lord in Nehemiah 4:14. Let me give you two other scriptures of what we are called to remember. This will kind of just be general topics. But first, we're to remember the Lord. Second, we were to remember His word. I'll read the scripture to you. It's found in the book of Psalms. Psalms 103, verse 18 is the main verse there. But 17 gives the context. So what it says there is, that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. And then verse 18, Psalms 103:18 says, to such as keep His covenant, and then here is how it's worded, to those who remember His commandments to do them. So we remember the Lord and we remember His word. Again, Psalms 103:18, if you want to write it down. Remember His commandments to do them. And then over in Psalms 105, this is Psalms 105 and verse 5. And it gives us something, another topic we're to remember. It says, remember His marvelous works which He has done. Just what a difference it can make in our lives. Just to remember the Lord, great and awesome. Remember His word, His commandments to do them. And remember His works. Remember his great and awesome deeds that he's done. If you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, you can look back over your life and see God's hand and God's mercy and grace, answered prayer. You've heard testimonies of what God has done. So let's be wise about what we choose to remember and what we choose to forget. Let's forget anything in our way of, as the scripture says, reaching forward and pressing on to the Lord and pressing on to his will. If you back up to verse 10, I want to give you a little bit of context there. Verse 10, it says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may know him. If you were to say, hey, Paul, do you know the Lord? Of course, he's going to say, yes, I know him. He's my Lord. I follow him every day. I'm alive by his grace. And he said, that I may know him, because we're going to be pursuing the knowledge of God for all eternity. So while we're in time and in this life, we can get to know him more. And I believe this, the key is not just learning about him, but we get to know him. We get to know him just like we would know other people that we pursue, we have close relationship with. We pursue him. I'm not going to let anything hinder me, Paul said, from reaching forward and pressing on in my knowledge of God and growing closer to him and growing more like him. That's what I want. I believe it's what you want. It's why you're here, is why you're listening, why you're joining in, that we would grow closer to the Lord and grow more like him. I remembered a song some years ago, a simple chorus. The second verse of this song says, I am reaching for the highest goal that I might receive the prize, pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, because I want to know you more. It's called In the Secret Place. Let me ask you to turn to one more scripture, Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, and I'm going to give you one last scripture out of Genesis before that, if you want to write it down. But Hebrews chapter 8, and if you'll wait for me, because Joseph is such a great example of a man of faith, of a person of faith in God, who chose to not focus on and not live in the past. He was, if you're not familiar with him, he was hated by his 10 half-brothers. He was trafficked. He was sold into slavery, taken into another country. He was falsely accused by the wife of the man who bought him. And as a result, he was imprisoned for years for a crime he did not even commit. Joseph very easily could have died a bitter man in that prison. But he chose to do something that I hope that we will choose today. I really believe that he remembered the Lord and he decided, I'm just going to press on in faith. Through it all, he stayed close to the Lord. That's so important. Through it all, was it tough? Did it hurt? Did he, all of that? Yes, he was human as any. He was a man. Started when he was 17. And he experienced those terrible, afflictions and mistreatment and so forth that he endured. But he chose to stay close to the Lord and he chose to magnify God. And he chose to magnify God over the attacks against him and over the afflictions he endured. He magnified the Lord over the attacks against him and the afflictions that he endured. And Joseph knew that God would take what was even meant for evil against him and ultimately turn it all around for his good. And thank God that he did. And eventually, Joseph was elevated to be second in command over the entire kingdom of Egypt. Joseph married and he had two sons. I believe there's a message for us here in the naming of his sons. And this is what the scripture says in Genesis 41, if you want to just write these two verses down and then we'll close in Hebrews. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51, the Bible says this. Joseph had two sons. He called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, which means forgetful. And this is what he said. Joseph called the name of the firstborn son Manasseh, or forgetful, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. God has made me forget. And then verse 42, And the name of the second son he called Ephraim, which means fruitful. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I love that. God made Joseph fruitful in the very place where he was afflicted. He can do that for all of us. But Joseph stayed close to the Lord. He kept a right attitude. He kept his faith in God and was able to, by God's grace, endure what he did. And God gave him favor. God was with him through it all. And he's with you. He's with me in our trials, our comfort, our attacks, our loss, our victories, our defeats. He's with us if we're in Christ and if we know him. And he named that firstborn forgetful and the secondborn fruitful. There's a lesson there, I believe, for us that maybe we need to be forgetful about some of our past experiences so that we can remember the Lord and press on to be fruitful in God's call and purpose for our lives. So maybe we need to be forgetful so that we can be fruitful. Each one has to, you have to examine your own heart and life if you want to pursue that. But let's remember the Lord. Be forgetful of some experiences, maybe some situations, people. Let's press on and let's be fruitful for the Lord. Thank God for what he remembers. The Bible says he remembers his word that he has spoken to his people. He remembers his covenant that he makes with his sons and daughters, all of those who are born of his spirit, who are in Christ Jesus. And thank God for what he forgets. This is what the scripture says in Hebrews 8. If you're there, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. It says, for this is the Lord speaking, and he's speaking of the new covenant, what we celebrate here in just a few moments as we share communion together. But speaking of the new covenant, because the first covenant, Israel failed to keep. And God says, I'm going to do what you couldn't do or didn't do for yourselves. The new covenant, I'm going to do it for you. So this is what he says, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. That was not just for the nation of Israel. It was always to reach all the families of the earth. But God just grafts us in and includes us when we receive Jesus as the Lord of our lives by faith and repentance. And then he goes on in verse 11 and says this, none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me. That's really what eternal life is. Jesus said in John 17, 33, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So that, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. And then verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Can we say thank God? Thank God for what he chooses to remember and what he chooses to forget. And it's not that God just couldn't bring it up, I don't believe. I believe he chooses not to bring it up because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and what he did for us is 100% perfect, flawless. And when he said it is finished, it was. And we can't add to it or take away from it. So thank God. Let's remember the Lord. Let's choose what we focus on. Let's choose wisely. Remember the Lord. Remember his word. Remember his works. And then out of that remembrance, let's press on and pursue the Lord like we've never pursued him and his heart and his will for our lives in 2026. As we share the Lord's Supper together here, and again, I want to thank everyone for joining in. Thank the worship team for Brother Smitty, I believe, is going to lead us in the time of communion. And I thank God for your participation and sharing this time together. But Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do so in remembrance of me. So as we share this Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper together, let's remember Jesus. And the scripture tells us that we are to examine ourselves when we come to this table of fellowship. So I want to ask you to do that right now, just between you and the Lord now. Let's examine ourselves. And I want to ask you, if you answer this between you and him, are you right with the Lord? Are you right with him? no area of your life that's off limits where he is not Lord, but you want him in every area of your life. And then second, because like the cross, there is that vertical, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is that horizontal, are you right with your brothers and sisters in Christ? And if not, let's get it right. Let's get it right now. Let's get it right, at least in our heart. If there is a step we need to take to pursue to do it, then Lord bless you, do it. Do it to the glory of God and by his grace. But I'm going to confess this. We're going to finish there. We're going to finish 2025 strong. And by God's grace and for his glory, we're going to start 2026 even stronger. Remember the Lord and press on. Once again, would you say it with me? Remember the Lord and press on. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you right now for this opportunity once again to open your word, to share your word. And I pray even right now, as your spirit is just moving and drawing and speaking to people's hearts, help us to focus on you. We give you our attention, our focus, our will. And Lord, help us when we look back, whether it's been failures, losses, offenses, whatever it may be, I ask, Lord, that we could look today with grace because we're going to focus on you, the great and awesome God and Lord that you are. Help us to move on from anything that would hinder us. And then as we look forward, I pray that we would do so with hope, with expectancy. I want to pray that we would enter 2026 with renewed faith in you, Lord. Lord, just to pursue you, your will for our lives, and press on. We're not going to do it half-hearted. We're going to press on with intensity to get to know you better, grow closer to you, and grow more like you. I pray that 2026 is going to be a year of favor, a year of grace, of greater grace, a greater knowledge of you, a greater hunger, desire to know you, a greater desire to be obedient to your word and your will, to be led by your spirit. And I pray that it would be the most fruitful year of our lives that we've experienced up to this point, ultimately, so that you would get the glory. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. I'll say this before we conclude. Again, thank God for you. You're part of the blessings to Kim and to me, and we love you. And I won't be here in person, but Happy New Year, and hope you have a blessed start. And Lord willing, we'll see you when you get back. Lord bless you.